We have the scripture reading, which is on the back of your program. I'll read in English. This is from Ezra, the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. Ezra went up from Babylonia. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. And there went up also to Jerusalem, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites, the singers and gatekeepers, and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first day of the first month he began to go up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, for the good hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel.
おはようございます、皆さん。
おはようございます。
エズラ記7章6節から10節まで読みます。エズラはバビロンから登ってきたものであるが、イスラエルの神、主が賜ったモーセの律法に通じている学者であった。彼の神、主の御手が彼の上にあったので、王は彼の願いを皆叶えた。アルタシャスタ王の第7年にも、イスラエル人のある者たち、及び祭司、レビ人、歌うたい、門営、宮に使えるしもべたちのある者たちが、エルサレムに登ってきた。エスラは王の第7年の第5の月にエルサレムに着いた。すなわち、彼は第一の月の一日にバビロンを出発して、第五の月の一日にエルサレムに着いた。彼の神の恵みの御手が確かに彼の上にあった。エスラは主の律法を調べ、これを実行し、イスラエルで起きてと定めを教えとして、心を定めていたからである。
Good morning again. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Today's message is about the hand of God. And before I get into the message,we have a little testimony by our very own Sarah, whose hand of God was on her life. And so I'd like to just, would you welcome me in welcoming Sarah?
My name is Sarah. I'm from Indonesia. I'm Chinese-born Indonesia. And I'm here doing a training in an architecture office in Tucson. So first of all, I want to thank for everyone's prayer while I was doing my exam in Tokyo. I could feel God's presence was really real. It gave me peace that surpassed understanding. And even more when I was, since I was in the airport, I could see that God's favor, he already shown his favor, that it's like his strength to tell me, making sure to me that he got the trip covered. To talk about this TODAI examination, I have to go back a little bit to the time when I first came to Tokyo. It might be a little bit long, but please bear with me because it's not my story, but it's God showing his love and his care, and his words are in the Bible are really true. So in 2015, I came to Tokyo for an internship with an architect called Kuma Kengo. So he's like my architectural first love. Like, I really admired him. And then after spending 1 year there, I spent 6 months in Jakarta before I came to Tucson. And within those 1.5 years, I experienced, like for me, it's like my two major disappointments. But which through those God shaped my character, and that He turned my ambition into passion, and He actually gave me a greater dream than my own. So the first failure, it was when I was interning. So 6 months after my internship, I decided to take the office examination to become a full-time employee, because I thought, well, God has brought me here in my favorite architect, like, so this must be His plan, kind of. Like, that's what I thought about. But at those time, I was so ambitious, like I tried my best to be better than other interns. So I took the exam, and my supervisor, because I was really hardworking, so they favored me, of course. So I kind of like, oh, I'm confident about it. But then turned out I failed, and then even my other intern, he got the position, so I was really like crushed. Like I felt that my dream and my future was crushed, and I didn't know why. Like I couldn't see why God didn't let me pass. Like I was already there, and I always work hard. But so I start questioning, like, do God want me to be in Japan? Like, is it just my own desire, or is it maybe God's timing is not yet? But through that failure, I let myself be adopted into a church family. So I went to TBC where Pastor Dennis is. But before, I never want to stay long in church. Like, I didn't feel comfortable. But after this failure, so I joined a small group. And through those meetings and small groups, I grew like spiritually and like with fellowship. But then after another 6 months, so in total 1 year, my visa expired and I had to leave. And I really didn't understand, like, why God, like, I mean, now I felt that I was in the right place spiritually. I was so close with my small groups, and I served in the church, and I thought maybe I could try another exam. So I keep on praying about it, but then I decided to come back. And then so I start thinking that, okay, my supervisor, he suggested that I finish my study, like to take master's degree. So then I thought, I start praying for getting into Tokyo University that time. So, but then when I went to Jakarta, my family condition was not good. Like, financially it was really bad, because my father, he kind of have like gambling addiction. So the finance was not good. And then I thought, I cannot just apply school because there is no money. So I felt that God was telling me, like apply the scholarship from the Japanese government in Indonesia. So I tried to apply, but during those times, because my mother, she was a good believer, but of course the situation was just too much, so she started pressuring me, like, you have to find a job. She really wants me to go to America or Hong Kong, basically to make money. And then, but then I kept my focus on applying the scholarship. And then, like I said, that God gave me this idea to write for the thesis plan, the research plan, church in Japan. But at those times, I only felt comfortable with that idea because I like atmospheric spaces. So I thought, oh, this could be nice. Like, architecturally, the idea was strong, but I didn't know the history behind it. So I applied for that scholarship, and I asked for my for recommendation from my supervisor. So I had to apply for scholarship and at the same time apply for Tokyo University, because those are two separate applications. And I felt when I asked my supervisor for recommendation, they gladly gave it to me, and they have connection with Tokyo University. So I felt confident about it again. But then it was like I was relying on my supervisor instead of relying to God. So I kept applying for those two without thinking my position as a daughter. And so this was my second failure. So it turned out, after I submit my scholarship application, a month later, when I see the notice board, my number was not there, so I failed the scholarship application. And I couldn't even continue applying to Tokyo University because I didn't have money to even send the application to go there. So it was like totally crushed. Like, and then I just thought that it's like my desire kept getting further away from me. But from there, I started to surrendering my dream completely to the Lord. And so I follow what He's kind of like guiding me. Okay, I started applying for jobs. I applied to Hong Kong, America, and UK. And then one firm got contact with me seriously, and that firm was this one, the one in Susan. So after several interview, and then with the generosity of my aunt, because she paid for my visa and the ticket to come here, so I finally came here. And then the company told me, you're gonna be paid this, and it was such a relief for my mother. Like, it was such an abundant blessing, because for me working here, it really helped my family. Like, so yeah, so being here financially has helped my family. But then, so the visa is for 1.5 years because it's a training visa. So I thought, okay, I'm just gonna be here for maybe 1.5 years, and then afterwards in 2018, I'm gonna apply for Tokyo University. Probably because it maybe I will work like maybe an extra 6 months, so I will be financially comfortable. For me, coming here in Tucson, it was like literally God has brought me into an exile, like in a desert. Yeah. It was in a way that, yeah. So it's not that I don't like Tucson. Tucson has amazing landscape, but that's what I truly felt. And all my time was spent either in the office or at home praying. But then it was good because suddenly there was no distraction. Like, financially now it's stable, so nothing really bothering my mind except these dreams of going back to Japan. So every time at home I pray, lamenting of Japan, and then I ended up watching NHK Taiga drama. And then the drama was about a Christian missionary in Kyoto during the Meiji era, at the end of the Bakufu period. And after watching that, I was searching for books, and then I read this book by Endo Shusaku called Silence. And in that book, it was about Christian persecution in Sengoku era. And then in that book, the sentence that really caught my attention, where he said, Japan was a mud swamp land, that's why Christianity couldn't take roots in there. So, after reading that, I felt really moved. Because those two era is like the beginning and the ending where Japan was isolated. But I was so amazed I felt that God, even that Japan didn't know you, like didn't know you very well, like other Western country. But I believe that the opening and the closing of Japan was in God's hand. It was in His, I mean. I'm sorry, I got emotional after reading that book and thinking about my dream of going back to Japan. And I always wonder, like, if it's really my desire or is it God's will. Like, I would like to align my desire with God's desire. Like, I want to ask Him, what is your desire for me? So yeah. So after that, I changed my thesis research plan from church architecture in Japan into Japanese church. And then I keep on researching about the history in Japan, because I don't know, I just felt curious, and I would like to know what kind of soil in Japan is, that why couldn't God's seeds take roots in there? So, as I mentioned, I thought about applying in 2018, but March this year, suddenly in my office calendar, there was an announcement that Kuma-san is going to New York to give a lecture. But I didn't think of going there because I would like to save money for actually studying for him. But I prayed, I prayed for it, and then it's like, and then I received my tax refund. Suddenly I have extra fund to go there. And when I went there, I met a friend, and then he told me that Kuma-san is retiring, so if you want to apply, you should apply this year. And I was like, what? So I came home, and then I started praying about it, like, should I apply this year, Lord? I'm not going to be ready if I apply this year. But even after praying, for a while, I didn't feel a strong urge of applying, but I also didn't feel any resistance. So this is what I thought. I learned that feelings lie, like I couldn't rely on feelings alone. Like sometimes I feel like the Lord appears silent, but if I want answer to my prayers, then I have to keep on moving, faithfully do it, do the things faithfully and trust Him and wait on Him. So I decided to apply anyway. So, and then after a few months, suddenly it's already August, and it's only 3 weeks towards the exam. And all this time, those times, I didn't have time to study well because every month I have deadlines in my office. So I started panicking, like, oh, the work, and actually, like, on the day of my departure, a week later, there is a deadline in the office, so they want me to finish the 6 weeks work in 4 weeks. So I was like panicking about that. And when I tried to study for the exam, it got even scarier. It felt even more intense. Because I also have a fear that I believe that God is just and fair. So I wonder if I have studied hard enough for Him to let me pass. So that was my concern. But because of my worry, I spent longer quiet time. And like I asked Him that, first of all, how do you want me to apply for this? Because of course I remember my past supervisor who has connection with Tokyo University. So I thought, should I contact him? But then I don't want to do anything that will offend the Lord. So I keep praying for that one. And after sometimes my heart changed from trying to seek hope from them. I was just like letting them know, because I thought if I do the exam without telling them, I felt that it was a little bit rude as well, because in the past I have asked them for help. So I just let them know that I am going to do the exam without asking for any recommendation or anything. So I went, during those times when I prayed about that, my supervisor, I read this verse from Jeremiah 17, verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So during my quiet time for those prayers, I kept clinging on this verse. So I keep preparing for my exam, and I thought this exam was so difficult. Like, there are things that I completely didn't know at all. And I thought that this is like David against Goliath. So I began reading Samuel, and then I, at the end of 2 Samuel, this is the verse that I kept meditating. God's way is perfect, all the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress, and He makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle, and He strengthens my arms to draw a bronze bow. And especially the last sentence, I just felt that he strengthens my arms to draw. So he's gonna strengthen me for my drawing exam. So, and then I also thought, what have you been training me for, God? I haven't been studying at all. I keep on working, but and then on the last day, I was checking my flight, and then I just realized that my ticket was the most restricted one, and then I couldn't even bring a carry-on. I could only bring a personal effect, like a small bag basically. So I started panicking, like, I'm gonna spend 2 weeks, like, how am I gonna go there? So, and then I tried to change the flight, but it was the last day, and then the ticket was so restricted, I couldn't do anything about it. So then on the last day of my work, I decided I had to leave early, I felt that the oppression on that last week was so strong, like it's like maybe the devil wanted me to leave Tucson with a bad feeling, a negative feeling, like guilt towards my supervisor for leaving behind so many quite odd of work I'm done. And then during those weeks as well, I was trying to study efficiently, but then my mother was suddenly texting me like, oh, can you send this? I was like, oh, like I told you, don't talk about money like before my exam. But yeah, so those week was really hard, but in the end I just prayed to God, like, because I don't want that my focus on this make me ignore the people around me. So so then I went to the airport so this is where God started showing me His favor. So the staff, the United Airlines staff, this man, he approached me and he said, you know, you cannot bring bag, because I had a backpack and it looked quite big for him. So, but then another lady came, oh, let me see. Oh, no, you're good. Okay. So then I passed. I was like, oh, thank God. Because even from here, I already needed a miracle, but then it was okay. So then I flew from Tucson to LA, and my friend, she warned me, because I only have 2 hours for my transit in LA from changing from Terminal 8 to the International Terminal. And I asked the travel agent about it before, and she was like, I'm gonna be brutally honest with you, you're gonna need 4 hours. And then when I went to the bank to buy yen money, the staff, the teller was Japanese, and she asked me, oh, you're flying to Japan, which airline are you using? United Airlines, not that man. She said, I used United Airlines before, and then I got canceled. So, oh, that's very helpful. So, yeah. The flight was on time, and I even arrived 30 minutes earlier. When the pilot announced, oh, we are arriving 30 minutes earlier, I was like, oh, praise the Lord. So we landed, and then I passed customs and the TSA. It was less than half an hour, and in the end, I have 30 minutes extra to kind of relax a little bit. So it was the flight to Tokyo, and everything was smooth. Yeah, everything was smooth until the day of the exam too. Like, I didn't have much jet lag at all, actually. And then, so the first day of the exam, it was English exam. So I was not very scared about that. So, but other people was studying with books. So I thought that I got a little bit nervous. So I just opened the Bible and started reading Bible. I got Bible is in English too, so it's like a practice, I guess. So yeah, but and then I read this verse in my from Psalm 34 verse 6 is that in my desperation I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. Taste and see the Lord is good, and all the joys of those who take refuge in Him. So after that, I did the exam, and I could feel that I was not doing it alone. Even after I finished the English paper, I felt the urge to go back and check it, and I found a few mistakes, so I corrected it, and okay, that was good. So first day was okay, and second day, this was the hardest one, that I already knew that this one it was so difficult. So there were 5 questions, and I could only answer 3, And I knew that those three are not perfect either, because the first two, like, really didn't know at all. So after that exam on the second day, I went home. I was so down, like I couldn't eat at all. And then I start praying and crying, and then I pray that to the Lord that, Lord, I don't want to know the result. You already knew about it. I just want to know, like, what do you want me to visualize and vision at this moment? Like, I have faith that I couldn't believe that I will fail, but at the same time, I couldn't imagine me passing the exam because of my past failures. I'm so used of imagining that, oh, I will not see my number there. Like, I will fail again. And then I pray to the Lord that God, I think my memories about Japan was highlighted by those two painful memories. Like, can we please this time make new memories? Can we start making good memories? So when I remember about Japan, it was not all tears. And I also thought that, I think, Lord, if I fail, like, I don't think I will ever come back to Japan anymore, because I feel like maybe you don't want me here at all. After praying that, I feel like my focus start shifting. And I said to the Lord, this is not about me anymore. This is not about me living in Japan or my desire to come back here anymore. This is about our relationship, God, like how I can trust you or I can love you and start learning to know your desire. I want to trust him for who he is instead of what I have experienced before. And then I, having my quiet time, and I remember this verse from Jeremiah 29, and he says, this is what the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortune. Will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and will bring you home again to your own land. So I felt, I just keep on clinging to those verse. And then on the Sunday before the exam week, I also went to TBC, and then that day the sermon, the message was about faith, and there was a reminder of what faith is. And so Hebrew 11, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And in Hebrew 11, verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Yeah, I kind of just take it as my own. Like, yeah. So that kind of, because it says, believe what you hope for will come true, so I start imagining positive outcomes, and I was not so scared anymore. So the next day was the last day of the exam. It was a drawing exam. So the exam is 4 hours. They will give us brief to design a public building. And so when I came to the university and I entered the drawing exams, like, there were already a few students preparing. And they brought all the longest ruler, like a samurai, like this long, and then they set up their table like it's their own study table at home. Like, they brought like those pots to put markers. Like, probably they have a set of markers, coloring pencils, and probably 10 different kinds of pencils and pens. And then I just brought my pencil box, and inside there was only 4 pencils and 1 ruler and an eraser. So I start getting scared, and I went to the konbini to find, like, maybe they have coloring devices. And when I was there, yeah, they have like markers, like coloring markers. But then I remember when David was against Goliath, Saul tried to give him his armor. And then David said, I couldn't use this because I'm not used to that. So I thought, yeah, all this time I never color my drawings anyway. All this time, every time I draw, those are the things that I need, pencil and eraser, that's it. So I had confidence again, and then I went into the drawing room, and whatever they do, they start bang, 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 bang. It was like a battle. Like, there were like 60 students, right, in the big auditorium, so it was really intense. They're preparing all their equipment, and I just put my pencil, that's it, and my table was flat. So I start, and then, the examiner said, okay, you can begin. And I read the brief, and it says, design a kindergarten. And the moment I saw kindergarten, I just thank God, like, because when practicing for drawing in Tucson, I tried practicing different kinds of shapes, and I start at the end of my practice, I thought, maybe you can start practicing some kind of like circular shape or something. Actually, that kind of design was the one that I used when I did the office exam. It was like a house with a circular library and with IV plants going around it. And then I thought, okay, that could suit for a kindergarten. So everything went smooth. Like, even my hands start trembling, like literally was shaking, but I felt so peaceful. Like, it's like, and then the light behind me was so nice. So I was like, oh, like, okay, God is guiding me. So I just draw and everything. So I could finish on time. So the exam days passed everything, and I felt like a huge burden was relieved, because this is the exam that I've been talking about for 2 years, and finally it's gone, it's finished. And and even after that, after the exam day, so the next day was the announcement for those who pass the exam and can go through the interview. So that day, although I wanted to worry, but I couldn't worry, like, it just blank. Like, I couldn't. It was just blank. But I just kept worshiping, listening. I just keep on worshiping, listening to worship songs in my ears from the train until Tokyo University. And then suddenly I saw my number there, and I felt that I felt joyful, but it was not very extreme. Like, as if the Lord, like I already told you, but this is not the one. I mean, this is not final. It's only to go through the interview. So, okay, I was so grateful. And then I came home, I went home, and the next day was interview. And the interview was really quick. And during the interview, it was Kuma-san himself, because I was going for his studio in Todai. So he was there interviewing me. And then he was only like, so explain your research team in 1 minute. So I just blabber everything, and then it stopped, and then he asked me some strange question, only like, are you interested in competition? And the moment he said competition, I remembered my experience of competing into his office. So I just started with a yeah, and actually I did internship in your office, and yeah, I competed there. Actually, I didn't do competition there, but I was focused on that competing part. So I told him, I competed in your office, so he said, okay. And then, so I left, but I felt guilty, because, God, did I just lie to him? Like, I felt guilty to God, but then, so I apologized, and that's it. There is no condemnation or anything. And then I left, so the exam week done, God even gave me a gift, traveling. So I went to Nikko, and Nagaoka, and Niigata. And there was a funny, not funny, there was a nice memory in Nagaoka. So when I was in Nagaoka, I was walking on this riverbank, and I was so tired because I had my backpack with me. And on the edge of the bank, there was a bench, and there was an old lady there. So I walked to the bench to sit, and then she started smiling to me, and she started talking to me. And after she started talking, I told her, oh, I'm not Japanese, my Japanese is not very good. And she said, where are you from? I said, oh, I'm from Indonesia. And she was like, she did this, like, oh, but look, our skin, they look the same, and our face are similar. It doesn't matter from where you are. And to me, that means so much, because all this time, like, a lot of people told me, like, the reason you're so interested with Japanese history is because you're a foreigner. So the moment you told me that, I saw that, oh. Yeah. Yeah, I felt that God was like saying, you don't have to worry where you come from or anything. Like, so it gave me really joy. And so after we spoke, and turns out she was a Christian. So she found out that I was a Christian, and she was like, oh, she was so amazed, and she said, look at us. Out of nowhere, it's like a destiny. We're here in the river and talking to each other. And she started telling me about Bible stories. And she told me about Lot's wife, where she turned into salt because she looked back. And I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't look back anymore. So, okay. And then, so we had a nice conversation. And then she said, okay, and then we have to part it. But that was really memorable to me. And so the traveling part, I traveled for 5 days, and in the end, in Niigata, it was like all the rice field was yellow, golden. It was almost about harvest time, and so I thought, I'm expecting harvest. So, and then I came back to Tokyo, and I stayed with my small group friend, one of them, and in her house. But I told her that I couldn't lie, that I'm worried. I was so scared at the point that I thought, if I failed, I felt that God betrayed me. I told her that, and she, like, that was my honest feeling. Although, not thinking about it, that was so rude, like, saying God would betray me. So I told her that about it, and she said, I don't remember what she said. Oh, so the next day, so I found out about the result. I saw my name there. I just blank, and I went to the toilet and I cried, and then I just felt that God was so sweet. Like, all the, even I tried to remember my journey. When I tried to remember the failures, I couldn't even feel any pain anymore. And then Jeremiah 17:4 remind me that he says, oh Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. And that's what I felt, that I was truly healed by the Lord. Like, all those waiting and tears and everything, suddenly it was just gone. And it was not for nothing. Like, for example, the exam that I did in the office, it helped me for my drawing exam, and then the scholarship. So it all led to this. So it's true that I have been trained by the Lord, even though I didn't notice it. So, so after that, so I received the result, and it was time to go back to Tucson again. And in the morning, when I was doing the quiet time, I read this verse from Psalm 124. It says, what if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then in the end it says, and in 126 says, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. So that was, so it's like all of my, all of the events I could, and all the troubles that I felt, I could always find the answer in the Bible, but I wouldn't have found it if I didn't spend quiet time with the Lord. So it was, so everything, it was like true, like God is writing everything, and it's the, yeah. So that's, and maybe this thing is overwhelming to me, because the thing that what I do will affect my family. So the burden that also comes from thinking that if I don't work anymore, I don't know what about the family. And sometimes the closest, I have to be honest, like the closest people to you, they can, how to say, kind of like become something that kind of like covered what the Lord has to reveal to you almost. Sometimes the closest people are the one that But then there was an answer in Psalm 73 when I realized that, then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. And in the end it says, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire more than anything on, I desire you more than anything on earth. So that's what I always cling for if I feel like it, when you feel alone or like the people around you don't understand what's going on, you always have the Lord. So that's it. Yeah, thank you for listening.
What an amazing testimony, amen. How do you follow that? thank you, Sarah, for sharing your story. That's an amazing story of God's mighty hand over your life. I mean, if you want a testimony, you have to go through tests in life. You know, and she, as you heard, she went through a lot before she got to the point of almost cursing God. But God showed himself faithful, as he does time and time again. We'll save my message for next week, the hand of God. And I do want to point out just certain events coming up. Not JCC events, but certain biblical holidays. I mentioned this a lot at this church, and hopefully it sticks. But in, I believe, Leviticus 23, the Lord gives seven specific holidays. And they are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit. By now, those of you who are here should know this by heart. First fruit, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the seven feasts mentioned in Leviticus that the Lord tells us to have a holy convocation on those days as a remembrance. And in the Hebrew, you could actually translate those words into, these are my divine appointments where I want you to have dress rehearsals. Divine appointments for dress rehearsals. This was a couple of, over 1,000 years before Jesus even came on the scene. On Passover, those of you who are Christian already know this, but on Passover, Jesus dies at the exact hour where they are doing the sacrificial lamb. The exact hour. The next day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus is buried. On the exact, I believe, hour where they're supposed to weigh the sheaves, they say Jesus was resurrected on the third day. 50 days later is the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit falls on the exact moments where they're doing the offerings of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls. And those are just four of the seven feast days where thousands of years ago Moses is told by God, remember these divine appointments and keep them as dress rehearsals. And so for thousands of years, they're doing the Passover lamb, Passover lamb, Passover lamb. And one day, Jesus shows up as the Passover lamb to fulfill that feast day. He's buried on unleavened bread. He rises on the Feast of First Fruit. The Holy Spirit falls on the day of Pentecost. There are three other holidays, feast days, divine appointments, dress rehearsals, that biblically doesn't seem to have been fulfilled, and we look forward to those being fulfilled. The Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. And I bring this up not to say Jesus is going to come back on those days. I'm not 100% sure if that's what's going to happen. I am sure, though, is that those days are probably very important for believers to be aware of and ready for. This year, Feast of Trumpets is actually this week. It's Thursday, Friday. It's on the 21st, 22nd. It's called the Feast of Trumpets. It's also called the Day No One Knows because For the Jewish calendar, that's the first of the month, and the first of the month has to start with a full moon. And so they have it 2 days because the full moon will either fall on the 21st or the 22nd. They're not sure which day. Idiomatically, they say that's the day where Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. And speaking of trumpets, there's a lot of allusions to trumpets in the Bible concerning Jesus' return. And so I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Jesus is coming back this Thursday, the 21st, get ready. That's not my point in saying this. However, my point in saying this is the 21st is a Feast of Trumpets, a day where Jesus, or a day where Moses is told by God to keep as divine appointments and as dress rehearsals. And so I do believe as believers, it's important to be especially wakeful and watching on the 21st, 22nd. 10 days after that is the Day of Atonement, and it's pretty close to October 1st. That's the first Sunday of that, and that is. I'll do more teachings on these, but that is why I felt it is appropriate to do a campaign, a giving campaign unto the Lord on October 1st. But that's another story. But you know, when the hand of God comes, it's not in our timing. Just ask Sarah. It wasn't in her timing. It wasn't in her time. If it was in her timing, it would have happened a long time ago. But the hand of God comes in a perfect timing, in His perfect timing. We don't dictate the hand of God. These are dates appointed thousands of years ago. And I do think it's important to be watchful, waiting, and ready if the hand of God does show itself on these days. So please be aware of that. The 21st, 22nd is the day, the Feast of Trumpet, the divine appointments of trumpets. If you have a trumpet, go ahead and blow that day. Anyways, let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, you revealed yourself as I am to Moses. And to Sarah, you revealed yourself as I am the one who will strengthen your hands to draw a bow, a bronze bow. I pray for each and every one of us, we would have that type of encounter. That we could fill in the blanks of who you are. You are the one that brought me to Todai. You are the one that brought me to Tucson. You are the one, and that sentence is yet to be finished. You are continually filling this earth with your testimony, the testimony of the saints, which will crush the head of Satan. We thank you so much for your divine hand of God, favor over Sarah's life, and just the encouragement, Lord. We pray, Father, that each and every one of us would experience you in that way. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Would you all please stand for the closing song? We'll be singing from 10,000 Reasons. We'll sing the last verse and the chorus. receive the love of God, the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit as you go forth from this place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you again for joining us. We have potluck right after service and birthday celebrations. I believe we have we have potluck. Please feel free to stay, even if you didn't bring anything. We'd love to have spend some time with you. Thank you again for joining us. Have a great week. Thank you.
はい。 Yeah.
if I could have your attention for just a second, I don't mean to interrupt your conversation, but if we could all congregate outside, and we could maybe sing a song and pretend like there's a birthday cake for the birthdays.
Okay, I'll play Happy Birthday.
Yes, Phil will play Happy Birthday for us for September birthday. So if it's your birthday September, forgive us for not getting you your cake. We owe you a cake. And then we'll pray, and then we'll start eating, and then you could continue with your great conversations. So let's all move outside that way, towards the light, the sun, that way.
Thank you. he said, I'm okay, but my husband is bad, so we move here. This is 6,000 a month.
Ah.
6,000 a month. I was in charge of it. I thought they didn't have any money.
Why?
She sold a house.
Are they in Kihei or?
No. They're going to move to Honolulu.
Oh.
And that's where she's going to pay 6,000 a month for a.
She might as well just stay in the house. They don't have homes.
Yeah, they got their own house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they got them. I don't know why they're in Honolulu.
Maybe it's volcanic or house. I never know. It's been active.
Maybe it's going to explode.
Maybe.
So I think they're okay.
guys talked to or seen babies lately?
Yeah.
But how's she doing? I thought you said you talked to her. What? Doing good? Yeah, of course. What do you want to show me?
Oh, that's good.
No.
Mm-hmm. They all comes down to Kana. So we gotta be another Kana.
Thank you.
Not gonna have just one.
So yeah.
She had two.
I didn't mind it, so Do you find that you documented the first child years, early years more than your second? Oh, well, the first time it's all new, right?
It's a blur. Yeah, so just because you've done it before doesn't mean you remember everything.
Hey, make your own bubble. Come on.
Right. Every time you hear it's a baby, you're like, it's just hard, you know?
So. Yeah, we just had the one daughter. And, but I remember like the first month or two being so, both of us so tense. And then after that, we're getting a little...
It's scary, they're so tiny.
I have to put my purse on top of the
it's working out.
Yeah.
Is that your Jesus? No, it's working out. Yeah, this is the bigger part. That's the little one.
Yeah.
necessarily if it was her story, but we collected.
Right.
There's something about it. But she does have a record.
Thank you. Thank you. like maybe was symbolic of like people that you associate with, or yeah, I wrote it on it.
どうしたの？これは、先生。